verse 12. All right. In normal law of life, we find everything as a beginning and the end. We're all limited by the timeline, so we have to look for the beginning, look for the ending. And also, there is a such a thing as action. We make a decision and go into the action. There is a something called consequences. Can be good, it can be bad. If we make a bad decision, guess what happened? We get the bad consequences. If we get to have a good, make a good decision, we get to have a good consequences. Good result, should I say. However, there's one thing that drives majority of people, especially in intellectual scholars, secular people, drive nuts is what the Bible said, or we understand before the beginning. It's Genesis started in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Amen. So that means God was there before what? Before the beginning. How can he be before the beginning? That means that the beginning had to move backward before God exists. What they forget is God is out of our timeline. They forget that God is not limited by a timeline. That's why he answered himself. He called himself what? I am. Not I was, not I will, but I am. To him, everything is present. So that's where the faith comes in, God, and faith in God comes in, and it works better than the human intellect. Once I used to have a lot of questions about God's way. Now I just give up and say, whatever, God. Why bother to ask? Because he's not going to listen to my counseling. I tried a few times, but he obviously ignored me well. I used to ask God, why don't you show true hell to the people? The people will, everybody will jump into the bandwagon of a heaven word. Wouldn't that be good? You know, just show the glimpse of hell, what it's like. Nobody in right mind will go to hell. Would that be a choice? That wouldn't be choice. That's just simply showing the raw power of God. It's not much of a choice. Okay, let's say you go to the 31 flavor place. You have my favorite ice cream, chocolate. Nobody has a chocolate like a Baskin Robbins ice cream. Chocolate.
It could be vanilla.
Could have been vanilla. Yeah. Did I ask your opinion, Bunny? And you have a chocolate, and the other one you have is horse liver. Which one would you choose?
Horse liver.
Just for the try. Of course, a spoon would go for that. Horse liver flavor or chocolate flavor. Then it's not much of a choice, is it? But if you have a peppermint, and what else do they have? Whatever. Okay, all that, 31 flavors. Chocolate, thank you. So, that's choice. Let's say Janice is back to her old, younger age, like about 5. She's playing with this Barbie doll and has a little. Okay, you. All right, let's use a spoon. He's playing with the Barbie doll. And whatever. You know what? I don't have a problem getting attention on Sunday morning. How come I lose the complete attention in the Bible study?
We've been in the heat all day.
Is that why? Yeah, it's all recording and it's going to go in. It's going in the internet just like that. They're going to think we are stupid. Anyway, let's say Spoon is playing with the Barbie doll. Okay, and that Barbie doll has a little string attached in the back. You pull spoon, pull that thing. Barbados says, "I love you, spoon." You pull that again. "I love you, spoon." He's really touched, but my doll says, whenever he pulled that thing, he says, "I love you."
For anybody, it says, "I love you, spoon."
But what if there's a person who really say, "I love you, spoon," on our own? That would be more touching, wouldn't that be? If God does not give us, he pushed the button from the heaven, then we all say, "I love you, God." Drop everything. "I love you, God. I love you, God." Every time he pushed the button. But if he gives us choice, we have a choice to love him, we have a choice to choose to watch a stupid football game on TV, and all of a sudden we have a choice. We have to decide which one is more important. Priority comes in. We have to choose between truth of God, we have to choose false. That's become decision. Majority of people on earth, past, current, future, we make a choice. God is loving and gentle and full of compassion. Mercy is slow to anger. I'm so glad he's slow to anger. Otherwise, I would be burned in hell a long time ago. Come on in. Come on in. Verse 12 of Jude, we will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that speaks the truth. Let us remember whatever we sow, that we shall reap. Let us not go to and fro and is blown by the wind of doctrines, but let us be grounded and rooted in the word of God, the voice of God, that lead us to the path of righteousness. For your name's sake, pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 12. These are spots, underlined spots. You know, this is something, how many of you guys have a Bible dictionary? How many of you guys have a treasure of scripture knowledge? How many of you guys have a strong concordance? Just about okay, same people. When you see this kind of thing, out of blue is one of those words sticking out like a sore thumb, underlined through the word search. Why is this particular word is there? God does not waste word. Jude 12. Okay. So, these are our spots. In your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn tree without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Let's say that put the small portion of mud in the clear water. Does mud become water, or water become muddy? Water become muddy. Why? Because it does not go backward. Water, you know, typically from good to bad, not bad to good. There's only one way to get to become bad to good, by the force of God. These false teachers are mud people. They come in a clean church, godly church, and they come up with their own false doctrine and throw mud into the clean, pure water. And all of a sudden, that church becomes muddy. I ask you to underline the spot. In Greek word, when you look at it, the definition is, a true definition is a hidden leaf, reef, R-E-E-F, hidden reef. Yeah. How many of you guys did a scuba diving or the snorkeling? Have you ever touched a reef? This is not something I've tried. You can have a wetsuit, and if you scratch the reef like this, and you can literally tear off the wetsuit. It's that strong, even in the water. I don't know what's made out of that thing. I think it's a lot of calcium. Yeah. It is very strong. It can tear that thing. It's a hidden reef spot. It's a hidden. People cannot see it, but when you go near it, you can gouge yourself. They are the deceivers. This is a strong warning against them. They are the blemish of the law of feast. What is the law of feast? It's a modern, in a modern day, it's a potluck. Being a calorie chapel that we are, we often do the potluck, right? We all eat well, especially every Tuesday night Bible study. What do we do? We go eat. At that time, majority of people who are the Christians, they are not wealthy people, they are poor people. And especially in the Gentile section, the majority are the slaves because they didn't have any hope. They didn't have anything to look for, and then Christianity came in and they gave them hope. So this is a great time. They get together, have a love feast, in other words, a potluck. This might be the few occasions they could eat well, decent, because everybody chips in and it becomes all of a sudden there's a gourmet food there, or there's just simply a lot of food. But these people, as we read, they come serving only themselves. False teacher never try to help other people. If you notice that some of these televangelists who call themselves the teachers, Bible teachers, and they ask for money, have you ever seen any one of them dress shabbily? No. Have you ever seen them dress kind of cluttered looking shoes? Majority of them wearing Italian shoes and $2,000 suit. Where do they get that kinds of money? It's from old lady social security check, and they gouge that money and serving themselves only. That bugs me more than anything. If people come to a church, I'm going to get something out of church. I'm not talking about getting from the Word of God. We should get something out of from the Word of God. That's mandatory. But if we try to get something from one another, if somebody comes to the church because of good business tactic, they are no different than these people. Might be the different degree, but it's the same category. One time, Charles Spurgeon asked the one lady, you guys know Charles Spurgeon?
Yeah.
The prince of the preacher. When he was 25 years old, he was senior pastor of the big church, a congregation of 25,000. People stood outside in the winter time listening to him. Phenomenal person. Anyway, one day he was asking this particular lady who dressed rather sleazy, so he asked her, Madam, if I give you £1,000,000, would you sleep with me? And the lady said, oh, yes, sir. Okay, what about if I give you 10 shilling, which is a lot less? And she looked at him, what do you think, I'm a prostitute? And said, well, we know who you are. We know what you are, but we're just haggling over the price. These are the same kinds of people looking for something to get out of somebody. Jesus said, it's better to give than receive. That's why I ask you guys, when you come to church, stay behind, hang around to dish out your welcome treatment for those who are coming for the first time. Second time, remember them, remember their name. If you have a problem with forgetting their name, write it down on the bulletin. Back up the bulletin, there's a people whom we met. There's a list section. Write down there. Next time, try to remember their name. Cloud without water, carried by the wind, and cloud that's useless. We see the few clouds in time to time, but that really doesn't help it. If you notice, the cloud without the rain, without water, they go from the one end to another end, blown by the wind. From one phase to another phase. Christianity is no different. It goes from one phase to another phase. You guys heard about the doctrine of the holy laughter. That when they came, they went away. Something for a while, there was a time that you had the Christian demon possession story. They came, went away. Huh? It will be back. Yes, it's kind of like a, you know, fashion. You have a three-button suit, especially for the guys. You keep it for about 20 years, it will come back into fashion. Wide tie, narrow tie comes back. My daughter used to tell me about 3 years ago, she used to say, the bell bottom is so outdated, nobody wears that kind of thing. Guess what she's wearing? Bell bottom. Turn your Bible with me to the Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So you guys already know this. What's so funny, Jack? Huh? Yeah, bell bottom. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is the famous verse for the fruit of the Spirit. That would be, for those who have the same Bible, 1979. Is that good year? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And the rest of the things, by the way, there is not a nine fruits of the Spirit. It's still, there is only one fruit. That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit is love. And then the rest of them is just explaining what that love is about. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Word of God says that we are not supposed to judge the other people's faith, correct? So if somebody said, I'm born again, don't tell them you're not born again. But we can judge the fruit. Why? Just simply looking at it, it's outside, it revealed to us. What's the difference between fruit of the Spirit and fruit of the gift of the Spirit? Come on, talk back time. What's the difference between fruit and a gift? Say it again.
Fruit goes out, gift comes in.
That's pretty much it. Gift of the Spirit has nothing to do with us. It was given by the Holy Spirit by His decision. So if we boast about the gift of the Spirit, that's just being dumb. If I boast about the speaking in tongue, did I have anything to do with the speaking in tongue? Absolutely not. If I can prophesy something in the future, am I have anything to do with that thing? No. It was given by God. However, fruit, as we know the meaning of a fruit, we have to bear the fruit. In other words, the gift of the Spirit comes to us. Through that, we bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. What is the ultimate fruit of the Spirit? Love. When we exercise the fruit of the Spirit, love, we can exercise other things such as joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, all of that stuff. If you have a love, a fruit of the love, if I have that, I will be able to love those who are not so lovable. Now, from that love, fruit of love, that means I get to have a peace in my mind in any circumstance. Again, from the Bible says, the peace of God that passes all men's understanding, what does it say? Will guard our heart. It didn't say, will change the situation. He said, we'll guard our heart. In other words, in the midst of the horrible circumstance, we will have a peace in our heart. Why? Because we know that God is in control. If somebody boasts about their spiritual gift, remind them, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, God, Holy Spirit, determines, has nothing to do with us. Let's go back to Jude.
But doesn't the Holy Spirit determine the fruit equally as much as the gift?
Yes, he controls, but we have to bring forth. See, if we don't have, if we don't become mature, if we don't bring forth the love for Christ and love for people, then the Holy Spirit will not force that thing in us.
We have to allow.
Yes, we have to allow. That means we getting in the back seat instead of controlling it.
Right.
But now, how are we going to how are we going to get into the back seat? That become we when we become mature. Fruit of Spirit. Let's put it this way. Have you ever seen a tree? Okay, I'm as you guys know, I'm not a person with a green thumb. I cannot bring forth anything well with a green. I have to ask my neighbor, I have to ask other people, is this a flower or is this a weed? One time I was mowing, pulling out all the funny-looking thing, I was on hands and knees and all along, and my father-in-law looked at his son, you're pulling the grass flower. Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was a weed. Anything taller than the rest of the grass, I pull out. So, when you look at these leaves, let's say barely small leaves sprout out from the ground. Can it bear the fruit? No. Why? Because it's not mature. Once it becomes mature, it will bear the fruit. Am I making sense to you guys? Fruit will not come out until we start to become mature. How we become mature? Less of ourselves, more of Him. That's why John the Baptist, I must be decreased and he must be increased. He already knows the formula. Verse 13 of Jude. Raging waves of the sea, the forming up their own chain, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of the darkness forever. I have a friend who is just absolutely in love with the sea. He will find any excuse to go to the San Diego to just look at the sea. He loves that. No name mentioned, like a David Kubera. Some people love sea, and some people hate to be near the sea because they have terror. During the old time, ancient time, it is no wonder they had a terror because they didn't have a hook. Whole lot of navigation capability. And you can just write it down and take a look at it. I'll just read it to you. Isaiah 57:20. But the wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose water cast up mire and dirt. Have you ever been to the seashore where there's a foam and scum and debris, all this just gob of things? They wash it up to the seashore. You want to hop in the water and swim there, right? Mm-hmm. You really want to do that, right? It's gross. And all you go to the lakeside, especially like a lakeside on the golf links near there, it's so bad it stinks. The water is so bad. Literally rotten water. They are like these false teachers are like a raging sea. Waves of the sea, they're forming up their own shame, wandering stars. And now, how would you, if you can be a star, would you rather be the star that can help other people navigate, or would you rather be the one comet passing by? The one, what do you call that thing? The
shooting
star. There we go. It glows well for couple seconds, if it lasts that long, and gone. I've seen many Christians who just like a shooting star. They talk about Jesus, 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 and then go on. Cannot find them. When you find them, they're in the ditch, drunk. I'd rather be the one little tiny star up there, and people can see all the time, and help them people. Shooting star, you can never use a shooting star as navigation. You can never use them to follow or go somewhere. But the North Star, you can always find them. For me, no, I cannot. They all look alike. Look, there must be Oriental stars. They all look alike. You cannot find it. I cannot tell the difference. They don't want to talk. False teachers, if you notice, false teachers don't want to talk about hell because they want that thing to be fairy tale. Satan went exactly same way. Satan doesn't want to be identified as a one who is deceiving. He come to kill and destroy and steal. But he is the one. He is the father of all deceivers. When he lie, he is speaking in native language, as Jesus said. And false teachers are the sons of Satan. I can name a few. Verse 14, we're going to find that Enoch story. Now Enoch, seventh from Adam, prophesied about this man also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their underlined from all on all their ungodly deed, which they have committed in an ungodly way. That's number one. Number two is, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are the grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and their mouths great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. By the way, flattery is something we say in the presence of people, but we do not say behind their back. Gossip is the one we don't say in the presence of them, but we say in their back. Flattery never is a form of deception. Now, I actually underline a couple of things. And if you notice within these three verses, there's two words that shows up time after time. What are they? All and one. What else? Yeah. Ungodly. That's what he's trying to talk about. Here Jude is quoting from Enoch, Book of Enoch. Book of Enoch is an apocryphal book, one of those that is not included in 66 book of the Bible. But however, this was very much respected by the first century Christian as well as the Jewish people. We have to go to the Genesis chapter 5, please. Genesis, of course, is the first book of Old Testament, not New Testament. If you find Genesis in New Testament, we have a problem. You got the wrong Bible. That would be page number 15. Genesis chapter 5. This is my kind of guy. Enoch is so nice. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Somebody said, somebody wise guy said, God and Enoch started to stroll, and they went way too far and close to the heaven, and the guy said, Enoch, why don't you stay overnight, since you're too far away from home? So he stayed there all this time. Now, this Enoch, you will find the two Enochs in Genesis. Chapter 4, you will find the son of Enoch is another guy, son of Cain. You know the guy who killed his brother Abel? His first son is Enoch. As a matter of fact, he named the city after his son's name. This is not the same Enoch. We'll talk about Enoch a little bit later. First one, I actually underlined the first one. What was the all the ungodly deeds which they have committed in ungodly way? Where is we going to find this thing? Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Of course, if we're going to the last book of the Bible, chapter 20 is way in the back. If you can find the concordance you went too far. Chapter 20, verse 11. There would be 2198 on the page. Then I saw a great white throne. Now, this is not for the believers. Great white throne judgment is not for the believers. So you hear me? Great white throne judgment is not for the believers. And him who sat on it, and from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there were found no place for them. I saw the dead, small great, standing before God. Books, it said a book, not book. For the judgment, for the believers, there's only one book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And also it's record of the what kinds of things we did, so we will receive not the judgment, but reward. Now here, then to receive judgment. Books are open, another book's open. This is, I imagine that's the Lamb's Book of Life, just to make they are not there. It's not like a God making a mistake. We do oops, but God never say oops. Another book was opened, which is Book of Life. Well, he said, duh. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead, and there were in it. And the Hades delivered up, and the dead, and there were in them, who were in them. And they were judged each according to his works. Remember that. Hugh Hefner, if he doesn't repent, if he doesn't come to Jesus Christ, he will regret he published one extra pornography. If there is somebody who cursed the name of God, used the name of God in vain, he will wish that he did one less time. It will be judged according to everything we did, according to everything we said, if we are not a Christian.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Is it not, I mean, when you say books of naughty business?
Yes. Everything they did, everything said in that book recorded.
It sounds like there's going to be more people.
A lot more people.
Hell in heaven.
Yes.
I mean,
that's given.
The books.
Yeah.
And just the book.
Yes. That's a given. And there'll be a long line. You know, this is why we know if they see this, why do they repent? Why don't they come to Christ? You know why? Because they do not have the Spirit of God in our heart. Today, this is nothing more than error, right? As the word said, it's a foolishness. Let's go on. Verse 14. Then death and Hades will cast a lake of fire. This is some death. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is judgment seat. This is ungodly will be judged for all the ungodly things they did. If that's not bad enough, we will go to another one. The second one on the line, all the things there which ungodly sin has spoken against him. You know what? If somebody call me a name, I say, oh, that's okay, they're an idiot. I'll go by. But if somebody's talk bad about my life, better watch out. If somebody talk bad about my kid, I'll beat them up.
Unless it's your wife.
Then my daughter deserves it.
Yeah, that's good. That was good.
That's a discussion. Anyway, it's the one thing, you know, before we were Christian, B.C., before Christ, I'm sure you guys have spit out a few personal words that is not right to God. And if we didn't say it, they probably thought about it in our head. It is a terrible thing to use God's name in vain. You don't have to go, but you might want to jot it down. Deuteronomy 5:11. One of a third commandment from the Ten Commandments, it said, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for those who will not hold him guiltless who take his name in vain. Guess what? He's going to carry his promise. I'd like to suggest you one. Okay, listen carefully. A lot of Christians use the word God. If you can avoid that word, not use it. Don't use it. When you use that word, oh my God, you don't mean anything bad. To say, oh, feeble stick or whatever. Use something else. Oh, Buddha. Well, if you want to curse somebody who is a demon, okay? Not God. Speaking of the cursing God's name, you never notice somebody, Buddha, damn it, or you don't hear the Muhammad, damn it. It's always God's name. Why? Pretty much tell. It's from the demonic force. This is just an interesting side story. Beck and Spoon probably know this. They're 10th generation from Adam to Mark. This is very interesting. Mark knows about this. First generation is Adam. Second one is who's Seth. Third, I have to look at it, Enosh. Fourth, Canaan. Fifth, Mahalalel. Sixth, Jared. Seventh, Enoch. Eighth, Methuselah, the guy with the weird name. Ninth, Lamech. 10th, Noah. Alright. What's the meaning of Adam? It means man. What's the meaning of Eve? Seth means appointed. Enosh means subject to death. Canaan means sorrowful. Mahalalel means from the presence of God. If you cannot read, come over this side so you can see. Jared is one came down. Enoch means dedicated one. Methuselah means that has a rather weird name. I should have put it on here, not.
Just washed away. Just floated away.
Methuselah is when he dies. It will take place. I don't know why the mother named him that way. Maybe he didn't like him. And Lamech is to the poor and needy. And Noah is bringing rest. Okay. What's the big deal about all this name and meaning? It has a special meaning. Let's read all together. Just meaning of the name, okay? Man, appointed, subject to death, sorrowful, from the presence of God, one came down, dedicated one, who when he dies, it will take a place to the poor and the needy, bring the rest. What that sounds like to you? Jesus. Do you think God kind of interweaved his story in our human generation? No, I didn't made this up.
You know what's interesting when you see it that way is the first name's one you might use today and possibly know of, but in between is where they went really crazy. It progressed into the weird names and then came back to something kind of.
Well, Jared, you hear you use a lot.
Seth.
Yeah, we still use Seth. We still use Jared. And Noah.
I think I said before I got saved.
if you drink a lot, like that word come out. What'd you say? I don't know.
You're ordering scotch.
All right, let's make an application. You can get this down later. Many people take Judgment Day lightly. If you see them, pray for them. I had a chance to witness to a young man 2 days ago. Very smart young man, but denying the truth. I asked him, do you believe it is absolute and exclusive, or do you believe the truth is relative? And he said, well, wrongly. I said, no. Simply asking you, because I have one simple answer, either yes or no. Soon as they say yes, the truth is absolute, they do face the truth. Someone said, well, it's a relative. Well, no wonder why you are where you are. However, we cannot treat them as stupid. The lost may be lost, but they are not stupid. Let's treat them with love. Let them come to know the Savior of Jesus Christ through our behavior. If the non-believer said, will God judge me? Yes. It's better for them to make a peace with God right now than try to change mind later when they cannot. Please, we remember that we are living in the last day. Jesus may come back any time. Be ready, watch, and pray. You may not meet. You guys think that I just say that just to be nice on Sunday morning. As I finish service, I say, keep your knees down in prayer and your heads up. For Jesus coming soon. I'm not joking. He's coming soon. If somebody's trying to teach you, make sure their doctrine is right with God's words. Otherwise, don't believe them. Just because somebody's teaching or some service is emotionally uplifting, nothing wrong with emotionally uplifting. God gives emotion to be in our heart. But if that's all about, then something is wrong. Oh, you guys know Max Lucado. How many of us know Max Lucado? Just about everybody. Great teacher. He writes better than he can teach. This guy ends up, when I just listen to him, he's like, wow, I wish I could speak like that. He used the word is, I didn't know, I knew there was such a word. But a lot of times, he doesn't refer to the Bible. Is he speaking one thing? No. He speaks right things. He speaks biblical things, but never go through the Bible. Like, what am I missing here? Big thing. The voice of God. Always. Stay in the Word. If you stay in the Word, you cannot go wrong. Every day, stay in the Word and stay in the prayer. Okay? All right, go ahead and read the rest of the Jude. And we will finish it four times, I think, one more time, I think. And after this, we are going to go into the Nehemiah. Go ahead, stop it, please.